We're learning a sicha, Parshas Veschanan, the first sicha in Chelek Yudalid, volume 14 of Lakuta Sichas. This sicha is a siyum on Masechtas Shabbos in connection to the fact that this week's parsha we have the Aseres Hadibros, which include the mitzvah, of course, of Shabbos in the Aseres Hadibros. So the last Mishnah of Masechtas Shabbos says as follows: a story that took place in the times of the father of Rabbi Tzaddik and the days of Abishol ben Buttons. Without going to the details of the story, which are complex halachas in regards to Tuma and Tara, the bottom line of the story that the Mishnah states is that in order to prevent Tuma from entering a home, they sealed a skylight by placing a vessel inside this skylight. And they didn't seal it properly, but they stuffed it with a tfiach, with a small jar, an earthenware jar. And then they needed to also measure to make sure that the opening of a window was not the size, or of a barrel, was not the size of tefeach, of a tefach. A tefach is a hand breath. And in regards to the laws of Tuma and Tara, there's if the Tuma enters through an opening, the halachas are that it has to be a tefach. It has to be an opening of a tefach. So they needed to measure to see if the opening was a tefach. So they took a keli, a vessel that was a tefach wide, and then they, in order to put it into the hole, they tied with a kesher she'eina shel kayama, a knot that was not intended to last forever, and they tied it around this vessel, and then they dropped the vessel into the opening to see if this vessel, which was a tefach wide, fits into the opening. And so that's the story. So the Mishnah concludes that from this story we learn that there are three things that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. You're allowed to stuff a opening of a window with a vessel, with something that's going to keep it closed, and that you're allowed to measure and tie on Shabbos. But not completely, obviously. We know these are malachas that are involved in Shabbos. So from the Gemara, it's understood as follows: that when it comes to stuffing the window, what the Mishnah calls poikikin, that with a vessel, that is permitted on Shabbos, whether it's for a mitzvah or not for a mitzvah. That was something that the Mishnah understood to be something that's not an iser malacha on Shabbos. Then the iser of medida, of measuring, is something that the Chachamim actually prohibited on Shabbos. However, for the purpose of a mitzvah, one is allowed to measure. And second, also for the tying, a knot she'eina shel kayama, a knot that's not intended to remain tied forever. So midrabanan, that is also prohibited on Shabbos, but for the purpose of a mitzvah, it would be allowed. So those are the three halachas that the Mishnah taught. Again, in general, one's allowed to stuff a window with a vessel on Shabbos, and for the purpose of a mitzvah, one is allowed to measure and tie a knot that is not for the purpose of a, that's not for a knot that's not shokayama, that's not to remain knotted forever, even if it's a kesher uman, even if it's a proper knot, meaning a knot that's done a professional knot. But if you have the text in front of you, you can read carefully, you can see that in this story, the order of events was first they stuffed the window, then they tied the knot, and then they measured the opening. Because the way they measured the opening was by dropping the vessel, which was tied to that string. So they stuffed, they tied, and then they measured. But when the Mishnah lists the things that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, the Mishnah says, from here, this story we learned, that you're allowed to stuff the window, you're allowed to measure, and you're allowed to tie. So the Rebbe's question is, in this sicha, is why does the Mishnah change around the order of the things that you're allowed to do, to first list tying, to first list measuring, and then list tying? So the answer to this is it's a long sicha to explain it with some very nuanced laws and the laws of Shabbos. However, the basis of the answer is a concept that Tosfos says elsewhere, that when it comes to the laws, when the Mishnah lists things, the Mishnah, the rule is that the Mishnah lists in the things which are called zu ve'ein tzarech leimer zu. First, we say the biggest chiddush, the most novel idea, and then we say, and therefore, obviously, other things as well. In other words, there's two ways to look at it. One way you could go mamata lamayla. First, you say the more obvious and the less obvious and the biggest chiddush. However, Tosfos says that when the Mishnah, when it lists things, it actually says it the other way. First, the Mishnah tells us the biggest chiddush. Then the Mishnah tells us something that's more understood, that's, and therefore it's more obvious and even more obvious. So, which means, according to this, the biggest chiddush in the Mishnah is that poikikin, that you could stuff the window. Then comes the chiddush of measuring, and then comes the chiddush of even tying something that is not a kesha shakayama, that's not a long lasting, eternal lasting knot. So to understand this order, the Rebbe says as follows. The reason why poikikin is first, that's understood. Because poikikin would seem to be a malacha of building. And that's why it would seem that the Chachamim would prohibit it in all cases. In fact, Tosfos says that the reason why the first one is not only for Letzorech Mitzvah. Because if it would be Aser, it's something that would always be Aser, that Letzorech Mitzvah, for the purpose of a Mitzvah, would not have been even permitted. So therefore, this Mishnah is teaching us a Chiddush, that as much as stuffing a window seems to be a form of building, but being that the Chachamim didn't prohibit it, and therefore it's completely Mutter, even if it's not Letzorech Mitzvah, even if it's not for the purpose of a Mitzvah. That's the biggest Chiddush here. Whereas Medida and Keshira, measuring and tying a kesha she'ena shokayama, when it's a ma'isa uman, when it's done properly, is something that the Chachamim did prohibit. However, for the tzaydech mitzvah, for the purpose of a mitzvah, the Chachamim permitted it. So therefore, the chiddush is that something that the Chachamim didn't prohibit at all, poikikin, stuffing the window. And then the Mishnah is, and for a Tzaydech Mitzvah, these two things are still permitted. So that is the reason why Poikikin comes first. Again, because it's something that is always permitted, not only for the Tzaydech Mitzvah. So it's a bigger Chiddush, because it's the idea that it's completely permitted on Shabbos. Now let's take a look between tying and measuring. Which one is the bigger Chiddush? It seems that tying is actually a bigger chiddush, because tying, the reason why it's prohibited is because it's like a malacha. Midrabanan, it's considered a malacha, because even though it's not a kesha shokayam, it's not a knot that's meant to remain, but being that it's a maisa umon, that it's a proper knot, so the Chachamim prohibited on Shabbos. However, measuring is only something the Chachamim prohibited because it's a maisa choil, because it looks like a weekday activity, and it's mezalzel, it's degrading Shabbos to do weekday activities, so the Chacham prohibited it, but it's not a malacha. So seemingly, permitting a kesher, a knot, which is more similar to a malacha, is a bigger chiddush. And yet, as we said, the Mishnah first mentions measuring, and then mentions tying, which indicates that there's reason to say that measuring on Shabbos, permitting measuring on Shabbos for the tzayrich mitzvah, for the purpose of mitzvah, is a bigger chiddush. So to explain this, we first have to look at the opening Mishnah of Masechta Shabbos. As we know that the Rebbe very often, if not always, connected the end of the Masechta with the beginning of the Masechta when he said a seal. The first Mishnah of Shabbos speaks about the provision of carrying on Shabbos something from one domain to another domain, but explains that there's two parts to carrying. There's what's called an Akira and a Hanacha. Akira means, in other words, if you could say really, there's three steps in Haitzah, in carrying something outside on Shabbos, from one Rishus to another Rishus on Shabbos. We're not talking about it also relevant to carrying outside, but we're talking about taking something from one domain to another domain, from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. There's three things that are necessary. There's an Akira, meaning lifting it from the domain that you're in. Then there's taking it to the other domain, whether it's Haitzah taking it outside or Achnasa taking it inside. And then there's a Hanacha putting it down in the other Rishus. And the Mishnah says in order to be Chayiv, you need to do all three activities. You need to do the Akira, you have to lift it. You have to take it to the other domain and anocha and put it in another domain. What happens if you only do one of them? So the Mishnah gives an example. There's a rich person inside his house who wants to give something to a poor person. And as we'll see later, the Rebbe points out that the Mefarshim say that this is an example, let's say, for even for tzedakah. That he wants to give something to the poor person. So he picks it up in his house. He puts it outside. But instead of putting it down outside, the poor person takes it out of his hand and puts it down. So that means that the poor person is the one who made the hanacha, whereas the rich person, the balabas, is the one who made the akira, is the one who picked it up. So therefore, the Mishnah says they're potter, because you need to do both an akira and hanacha in order to be chayev. So the question is asking the Mefarshim. We have a rule in Torah that chatzi shir is aser, that even if you do something that's half the shir, even though the Torah only considers you guilty if you do the entire shir, but if you do a chatzi shir, if you do a half a shir, it's still prohibited. A simple example is that even though most shiurim in eating are as a kazayas, in order to be chayav to eating something that's not kosher, you have to eat a kazayas, but you can't say, oh, it's less than a kazayas, so I can taste it. Chatzi shir, half the shir, the Torah still prohibits, which means that even though you're not allowed to do it's only half the shear, but you're still not allowed to do even, not allowed to eat even half the shear. So the question, and that's min ha-Torah, not only min rabbanan. So the question is, how come in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shabbos, it says that a person who does only the Akira, so it's also Aser on Shabbos, but it's only min rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, You're not over, you didn't do an Aveda if you did only the Akira or the Anacha. Seemingly, it's a Chatzi Shir, it's half the Shir, it's half the Melacha. And if it's half the Shir, so then it should be Aser, even Min HaTorah, not only Midraban. Again, just to, I didn't say it so clearly, just to make it clear, that Min HaTorah, the Balabas could do the Akira, and the Ani, the poor person, could do the Anacha. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to. And that's what the Mishnah teaches us. So the question is, if it's Chatzi Shir, Aser min ha-Torah, half the Shir is also forbidden from the Torah, so here too, it should be Aser to do, min ha-Torah, to do only the Akira or only the Anacha, only the lifting or only the placing. And the answer is explained from the, I think it's from the Ragachavar, the Rebbe brings, that Chatzi Shir means that you did the full act, but you only did half the shear. To use the example we said before, you ate, but you only ate a half a kazayas. But what happens if what you're missing is the half of the melacha? So then it's not a melacha to begin with. The Torah prohibited a melacha. Another simple example would be when it comes to on Shabbos, when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, there's certain things that the Torah says that you're not allowed to carry measured by a shear. That the shiurim, how much you're not allowed to carry outside for various objects. So here, I think that here too, you could have the same question. If I carried half that shear, so I carried. The question is, if I carried that shear, certainly by eating, that's the case. That if you eat half the shear, you ate, but it's only half the shear. And that's why the Torah prohibited you. But the definition of haitzah or achnasa, taking something from one domain to the other domain, requires an akira and anacha, lifting it and placing it down. If you didn't lift it or you didn't put it down, you didn't do aitzah, you didn't do achnasa, you didn't change it from one domain to the other. So therefore, even though you did part of the malacha, but being that you didn't do the entire malacha, so therefore, and I tell you that you're potter. In other words, the definition of chatzi shir is in the kamus, in the quantity of what you're doing. But if it's in the quality, in the echus, in the actual malacha, so then it's not considered a malacha at all. And that's why if the ani does the akira and the balabas does the anacha, or vice versa, they're potter, because none of them did the actual malacha. So now, says the Rebbe, we could say a similar thing also when it comes to akshira tanat. Why is it that the Torah says that it has to be a kesha shokayama, that a knot has to be a long-term knot? In other words, that the knot, when you tie something, in order for it to be the malach of kshida, the malach of tying something on Shabbos, the intent has to be that it's going to remain tied forever. What happens if a person decides he's tying it only for 2 weeks? So it's not a kesher shakayama. It's not something that's being knotted for the purpose of remaining tied. You could look at it two ways. One way you could say is that the timing is a shear. So the shear is to always be tied. Anything less than that is chatzi shear. So it should be aser, min ha-teira. Or we can say that when it comes to a knot, the definition of a knot is something that is tied. And tied that remains tied. Otherwise, it's not considered a knot. In other words, what the Teda considers a knot is something that's tied and to remain tied. Anything less than that is not considered tied. So therefore, when it comes to kshira, it's similar to haitza. When it comes to tying, it's similar to what we explained by carrying something out. That tying something with that akesha she'ena shel kayama, tying something that is not with the intent, which is tying something which is not the intent to remain tied forever, it's as if you didn't tie it, min ha-teira. It's just that the Chachamim said that being that it's similar to a knot, that's a kesha shokayama, because it's only in your intent. It's hard to see physically the difference between them. So therefore, the Chachamim prohibited it as it being something similar. But as far as the Torah is concerned, if it's not, the intent is not for it to remain tied, it's not considered a kesher shekayama, it's not considered a knot. But if that's the case, how come by Akira Anocha we don't say the same thing? That the Torah, So therefore, when it comes to a mitzvah, the Chachamim said, for a mitzvah, we are allowing a kesher she'ena shekayama, we're going to allow a knot that's not with intent to remain tied. Because it's only the Chachamim prohibited it. So the Chachamim allowed it. But if that's the case, how come when it comes to Akira and Anocha, we said before that the Mishnah is examples of a rich person giving something to a poor person. And Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah gives this example in order to teach us that even if the reason why you're doing it is for the purpose of tzedakah, in other words, you're doing it in order to do a mitzvah, it's still prohibited. You're still not allowed to do it. Just an Akira or just Anocha. So how come when it comes to Akira and Anocha, we said it's a Chatzi Melachas, and that's why I'm not telling you it's Mutter, but yet the Chachamim did prohibit it, even for a mitzvah. Whereas by Kesher, She'ena Shokayama, not that's not meant to remain tied, the Chachamim only prohibited it in a case that's not for a mitzvah, and that for a mitzvah, the Chachamim allowed it. So the Rebbe explains a very interesting point. He says as follows. When it comes to a knot, what are we concerned is going to happen? You tied it, kesher she'ena shekayama. We're not worried that you're going to end up making a kesher shekayama. We're not worried that the gzeira isn't that you're going to end up making a kesher shekayama. The gzeira is that you're doing something that's similar to a kesher shekayama, and therefore that's why the chachamim allowed it when it's a mitzvah. But by an akira and anocha, the chachamim were concerned that you're going to end up doing the anacha. If we allow you just to do the akira, you pick it up and you say, I'm going to let the poor person put it down. And then the poor person's not taking it from your hand. You might end up putting it down in his hand. So therefore, the Chachamim prohibited it. In other words, when it comes to a kesher, when it comes to a knot, we're only concerned that you're going, the concern is that you're doing something that's similar to a kesher shokayama. But when it comes to akira hanacha, the Chachamim are concerned that you're actually going to come do an isur nateira. So therefore, even if it's a mitzvah, we can't allow you to chas shalom do an isur nateira just because you're doing a mitzvah. And being that the Chachamim are concerned that you may come to do an akira or a hanacha without realizing, or once you do one, you may come to do the other. So therefore, the Chachamim said, even for a mitzvah, you shouldn't do it. But by a kesher shel kayama, that the concern is that you're doing something similar. So the Chachamim said, okay, for a mitzvah you can do it. But this itself needs to be understood. Why is it that when it comes to a knot, the Chachamim aren't concerned that you're going to tie it as an intent of not being a kasher shekayama, and then you're going to say, you know what, let it stay for forever, and then it'll become an isum nateida. In other words, why were the chachamim more concerned about you akida becoming anacha, which actually requires a second action, but when it comes to the knot, they're only concerned of you doing something similar to an isum nateida, and not that you're actually going to do the isra of the teida of a knot. So to explain this, the Rebbe takes the idea of what we explained before about a kasha she'en shekayam a step further. And the Rebbe says as follows. The idea of a knot is taking two things that are separate and tying them together. That's the malacha. The malacha is to take two things that are separate and to bring them together. The prohibition is making the two things become one. Being ma'achid, unifying two things. In order for that to happen, it has to be a kasha she'en. If it's not a knot that's with the intent to remain together, so then they remain separate. The fact that they're tied together is just a technicality. What makes two separate items unified as one is your intent to keep it that way. If you're not going to keep it that way, then they remain separated even when you tie them together. In other words, the Rebbe is looking at the depth of what's happening here. That your intent of how you're going to keep these two items changes the item. If you have two separate things, what's going to make them one, which is the malacha, is your intent to keep it that way. If you don't intend to keep it that way, then they're as separated as they were before. And therefore, if you don't have the intent of keeping them together, you don't have any element of the malacha as well. They're bikiruv, they're touching each other, but they're not one. So you don't even have the beginning of the malacha, which is tying them together. By the akira and anacha, the akira, lifting it, is the beginning of putting it down. Or putting it down is the end of what happened when you picked it up. So you have a miktsas malacha, you have part of the malacha. So the Chachamim made a gzeda. Being that you already have part of the malacha, so therefore the Chachamim are concerned you're going to conclude the malacha. Or being that the beginning of the malacha was done, we're concerned the next time you're going to do, when you do only anacha, we're concerned the next time you're going to do the akida also. In other words, being that you're doing something that's part of the malacha, you already did part of the malacha, so therefore we're concerned that the rest of the malacha will be done either now or a different time. However, when it comes to kasher tanat, when the two things are together, even though you tied them, but what makes them together is the das, is the intent that it's going to remain together. And being that you did not tie them together with intent to remain together, for all practical purposes, as if they're separate. They're next to each other, but they're not actually tied as one, which is the malacha of kshira. And therefore the Chachamim said, there's no reason, being that you didn't even begin doing the malacha, there's no concern that you're going to conclude it. At the same time, the Chachamim said, being that it looks awfully similar, it's only the das that creates this change. So therefore, that's why the Chacham prohibited as a chshash that you're doing something that looks like a malacha. But we only make a gzeda that you may actually do the malacha when you're doing something which is the actual beginning of the malacha. So to summarize, we have like this two. We have three ideas. Number one, we have something that's called chatzi shir. Chatzi shir means that you're actually doing the melacha itself completely, but you don't have the whole shir. And being that you don't have the whole shir, even the Torah says it's forbidden. Even though you're not chayiv, you're not going to bring a carbon, you're not chayiv misa, whatever, but you have an obligation to not do such a thing. You have an issur, you're prohibited to do it because it's the actual melacha done. But because the only thing that's lacking is the quantity, is the shir that the Torah prohibits. So example, like we said before, eating something less than the shir. Then you have something like kishira, tying, that the Torah says that the definition is you're tying it in a way that it remains unified as one. And until you do that, it's considered separate. And therefore, even mina Torah, it's not a malacha if it's not a kasher shekayama. Even midrabanan, we don't consider it a malacha that you're tying it together, and that you began doing the malacha, that we should therefore make the gzeda that you may end up coming to do the malacha the way it's minatayda. It's only that the chachamim prohibited it as looking awfully similar to a malacha. And therefore, when it comes to a mitzvah, the chachamim allowed it. And then there's a malacha, like carrying, that doing only the akira, only the hanacha, is not the malacha. And therefore the Torah permits it. But the Chachamim said, being that it's the beginning of the malacha, it's beginning of the actual malacha, because in order to take something from one place to another place, you have to do it. The problem is the akira and the hanacha. Each one of them is part of the malacha. So therefore the Chachamim prohibited it to do even just half of it, and to the point that even when it's for a mitzvah, the Chachamim would not permit it, because you may come to end and conclude the whole melacha. Now let's go back to our original question of the order of the Mishnah. So like we said before, the first thing the Mishnah mentions is Poikikin, because that's the biggest chiddush, that it's completely permitted on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says, even medida, measuring, which is something that the Chachamim prohibited, for a mitzvah, Chachamim allowed it. Even though there's no difference from what's happening now. In other words, the actual measuring on Shabbos is something that the Chachamim inherently made Aser. And being that the Chachamim inherently made it Aser, it's something that is, is something that the Chachamim may have said should be completely Aser, without any reason for permitting it, even for the tzedek mitzvah, even for the purpose of a mitzvah. So that's the second chiddush. And then comes the third, that even kshita, tying, which as we just finished explaining, if you're not doing it shel kayama, if you're not doing it for the intent of remaining tied, it's not even considered a knot, it's not even considered a kshita. It's true that Chachamim answered it because it looks like a kasha shel kayama, but in it itself has no iser. There's no pe'ul of iser here. And so therefore, mitzad amitas enyanim. And so therefore, it's even more obvious that the Chachamim would allow it for a tzedek mitzvah. So measuring, even though it's midrabanan, only because of ma'isachel, completely unassociated with malacha, but it's something that the Chachamim prohibited on Shabbos. And therefore, to allow it for a mitzvah is a chiddush. However, when it comes to tying, it's true that Chachamim prohibited it, but they only prohibited it because it looks like a malacha. But in it itself has no element of a malacha at all, like we explained, being that the definition of the malacha of Keshira is tying something to remain tied. And anything less than that is bechlal not the malacha of Keshira. And that's why it's the most obvious that the Chachamim would allow it, letzaydich mitzvah. So again, api nigla, the order is as follows. Poikikin is the biggest, to stuff the window, is the biggest chiddush that the Chachamim would allow it on Shabbos, because the Chachamim are saying that there's no malach associated whatsoever, and therefore it's permitted even not for a mitzvah. Then comes the two that the Chachamim prohibited it, but letzaydich mitzvah you're allowed. So being that the allowance is only letzaydich mitzvah, so therefore it's more understood why the Chachamim allowed it. Whereas by Poikikin, I would have thought that it's completely aser, so therefore it's a bigger chiddush that it's permitted completely. And within those two, measuring is a bigger chiddush that it's permitted for a mitzvah, because the iser itself that the Chachamim placed is on the medida. Medida itself is something the Chachamim did not want on Shabbos. Whereas when it comes to measuring, when it comes to tying, the Torah said tying is prohibited. Tying a kesher she'eino shel kayama that's not meant to remain tied is not the definition of tying as far as the Torah is concerned. And therefore, it should really be mutter. The Chachamim didn't like that it looked like a kesher shel kayama. So allowing it for a mitzvah, taking into consideration there's no malacha whatsoever, doing it for a mitzvah, the Chachamim would obviously allow it, and it's the most obvious. Now that I've explained, according to Kabbalah and Chassidus, the order of Poikikin, Moedidin, Vekoishin. It says in Chassidus, that, and on Kabbalah, that Shabbos is when Malchus is Oila from Biyat HaAtzilus, which in simple terms means that Malchus in the 6 days of creation is involved in the world in Eilam Hazeh, in a place that allows for there to be Klipa. But on Shabbos is Aliyas HaOilamis, Malchus elevates itself to HaAtzilus. We're in Atzilus, there's no place for any ra, there's no place for any evil. If you learn the Kegavna that we say Friday night, you'll see that that's really what the whole topic of Kegavna is. This idea that on Friday night we have Malchus goes up to Atzilus, and in Atzilus there's no separation, there's no division, there's no klipa, there's only Achdus. And then it says in Chassidus and in Kabbalah that there's three levels to this. There's Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon. The three meals of Shabbos. It's when we look in what we say in Friday night davening, we say, and then we say, V'yanuchu, Friday night we say, V'yanuchu ba, Shabbos morning we say, V'yanuchu boi, and Shabbos afternoon we say, V'yanuchu bam. Similarly also, in the piece of Askinu Sudasa, it says differently, for before Kiddush Friday night, Shabbos day, and what we say before Bnei Chala after Mincha. And this is explained is that Friday night is Aliyas of Malchus. Malchus is the feminine, and that's why you say Yenuchu Ba. Shabbos morning is where Oila Tizah to the Midais, which are the masculine, which is why we say Yenuchu Ba. And Raivin the Raivin, Shabbos afternoon, we reach the highest state. That the level that's higher than both of them, that therefore connects the two together, unifies the two together, which is the Yenuchu Bam, the plural, both of them together. And this is what this Mishnah, just like the beginning of Masechtas Shabbos, tells us the foundation of what Shabbos is about, as explained in Chassidus, that the Melach of Haitzah, of take going out from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, is the opposite of what Shabbos is. Shabbos is, like we said before, elevating to Atzilus, which is the Rishus HaYachid. We have only the Eivishter. And therefore, the quintessential Malacha of Shabbos is Hoitzah, going out to Rishus HaRabim, and which is why the Masechta begins with that Mishnah. So similarly also, the Mishnah, the Masechta Shabbos concludes that what is Shabbos? To define what Shabbos? We finished learning Masechta Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Poikikin, Meididin v'kayishin. The Mishnah doesn't say you could do pkika, you could do medida. The Mishnah says you are poikikin, we do it. It's as if this is what you have to do on Shabbos. You have to be poikikin, meididin v'kayishin. In Avedis Hashem, Shabbos is about poikikin, meididin v'kayishin. The first thing on Shabbos is we stuff the window. In other words, we block the allowance for klipa to enter. In Chassidus it says, it brings from Kabbalah also, from the Gemara, actually, that Tzafen, the north side, the Eivishter left open. The Eivishter left the three sides of the world closed. Tzafen, the Pasuk says, Mitzafen, Tifte Chara, actually associated with the 9 days, which we always learn, Beschanon, after Tisha B'Av, that the Bavel is the north, that's where the Klipa comes from, and that Aveda V'Yid is Peikikin, is the stuff, and close up the north side, not to allow the klipa to come in any longer into this world. And when we do that, we complete the Maisa Bereishis. We become Hashem's partner in completing creation by locking off, closing off the ability for klipa to enter. And that's, like we said before, the first thing of Shabbos Friday night, where Malchus is Oyla Tatzilus, which doesn't allow any room for klipa. Then we come to Meididin. Mida, which as we said before, is associated with Midais. Measuring has to do with the Midais, with the six Midais of Zah. The second level is that we elevate ourselves to the level of the Midais. And then from there, we come to the third level, which as we said before, is where Zah and Malchus, the Midas and Malchus get unified together by a higher revelation. We come to Melech of Kshita, of tying the two together, which is the idea of bringing everything together, unified together as the ultimate Rishus HaYachid, tying and connecting everything to the Eivishter, to the Rishus HaYachidai Shalaylah.